This is this evening's talk. It's about the Bodhisattva Tara, and I haven't got any slides, but that's a good thing because it means we can use our imagination. And just as a little a little prompt to the imagination, you can see, especially the colour of the Bodhisattva Tara that you can see over the shrine. So it's all about her. And there's a story. She is a very special figure. And it's very important that we find a way to relate to her, because it's really all about realising her qualities. So there's a lot of story and myth involved in Tara. The story is that she was born from a lake of tears. Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva, who's another Bodhisattva, the great being, Avalokiteshvara, the Lord of great compassion, whose colour is white, and whose beautiful eyes survey all who are crossing the endless cycle of existence. He looked down upon this world, and he saw suffering everywhere. He saw beings born in suffering and dying in suffering, afflicted by diseases, wars, and famines. Most of all, he saw beings, like ourselves, not getting what they wanted. And he saw beings getting what they didn't want. And of course, being the mighty Avalokiteshvara, known as the regarder of the cries of the world, he did all he could to help beings escape from the cycle of existence by proclaiming the Dharma. The Dharma, the Buddhist Dharma, that is good in the beginning, good in the middle, and good at the end. The Dharma that liberates from the suffering of the delusion of clinging to self. But he also saw that however many beings he helped to escape from the fruitless round of mundane existence, the overall number didn't get any smaller, in spite of all that effort. And seeing this, he began to weep. And the tears of pain started from his eyes, and they began falling, trickling and then streaming like rain, like a torrent, an endless torrent of sadness. The tears washed down his face for many days and nights as he wept piteously for the bitter sorrows of the world. And the water of tears spread out below him. They spread out and out and out, and eventually they formed a great lake. As his weeping at last came to an end, Avalokiteshvara gazed at the vast lake of tears, and he saw in the midst of the calm waters a blue lotus flower. And it's the lotus flower that's called Utpala. It's the night lotus. It's the night lotus that's nourished by the light of the moon. And then he saw that in the centre of this Utpala lotus flower was a beautiful young woman. And this beautiful being was, of course, Tara, the Bodhisattva, joy of starlight, the quintessence of compassion. And her colour was a gentle green, and in her two hands she held two lotuses. And this wasn't the first time she'd appeared in this world. Aeons before that, apparently, Tara had been a Dharma practitioner like you and me. Though she wasn't called Tara in those days. And then one day she met the great being who would be her teacher, the Buddha Amoghasiddhi. She met him. And this connection completely changed her life. And from that point, she made such progress that Amoghasiddhi predicted her full enlightenment. And the texts that explain all this, they say that all this happened in an age before there was nothing else, whatever that means. And when she, who is now known as Tara, at that time she went by the name of Jnana Chandra, or Moon of Wisdom. That was her name in those days. And at that time, all the other practitioners around her were all monks, all male monks in yellow robes. And Jnana Chandra, she learned many good and profound things from these monks. But all the monks all constantly advised her that she must pray to be reborn as a man in order to further her spiritual development. And Jnana Chandra thought deeply about this over a very considerable period of time, as you can imagine. And having made her considerations, she then made a solemn vow to continue working for the spiritual benefit of sentient beings in the form of a woman. Amoghasiddhi rejoiced at this, and as things turned out, it was eventually because she became so good at liberating beings in the form of a woman that Amoghasiddhi gave her the name of Tara, which means the star. In ancient times, stars were really important, and people relied on the position of the stars in the sky to know where they were when they were travelling by land or sea. So Tara, the star, is a refuge for those who are lost, or could be lost. That is, for all of us in samsara who need a guide on the path. And we might ask ourselves, what was and what is the nature of the benefit to beings of Tara's having a female form? What's special about that? What is it about women? Indeed, what is it about men that can benefit others? What is it particularly about men or women? And of course, it's always dangerous to generalise about men and women's qualities, because whatever you may say, people will immediately see the exceptions. However, there seems to be some truth in the idea behind Tara's vow that women are on the whole more relational, more concerned with human relationships. Maybe this springs from their ability to function as mothers. But whatever the truth of that, Tara is really like that. She is really relational. She's really connected with all beings. And that's, you could say, her special quality. And she's specially connected through the idea of awakening for all beings. It's the idea that we shouldn't strive for liberation just for ourselves, but so that everyone in the world will benefit from our practice of the Dharma. A bodhisattva is anyone who practices in that spirit. You know, they definitely want to become awakened, and they definitely want to do that for the sake of all beings rather than just themselves. So in this sense, we can think of ourselves as bodhisattvas. We are on the bodhisattva path. Tara connects with all beings through that aspiration. She's what we call an archetypal bodhisattva. As we saw, she may have been an actual human being at some point, a human being who practiced in that way. But she's gone way beyond that and has become an image. She's become an archetype, as people do when they become some kind of a popular hero, like Superman or Wonder Woman. And at that level, there's no real distinction between bodhisattvas. It's as though this image appeared in the guise of a bodhisattva, but is actually an enlightened being, is actually a Buddha. There's no real difference. Anyway, there are quite a few female Buddhas and bodhisattvas. And just as in life, there are the young, beautiful ones, there are the mature, motherly ones, there are the sexy, dancing ones, you've got the scary, dancing ones, and you've got the just plain, scary ones, and also you've got the cackling, wise, old crones. All these are from archetypal female bodhisattva types. Some of them are black, some of them are yellow, some of them are white, some are pink, some are blue, and some, like Tara, are green. Though actually, that is not really accurate because there isn't just one Tara. Actually, there are many forms of Tara, and the green Tara is the most popular form. But there are many, many forms and many colours. And there's a traditional list of 21 Taras, but there are many more than that as well. So in some ways, Tara almost becomes a way to express the general idea of a female Buddha or Bodhisattva. In terms of male and female, female Bodhisattvas are always associated with wisdom. Male bodhisattvas are always associated with compassion. And that might seem slightly odd, because I think in our culture we think of compassion as a gentle quality and wisdom as a hard quality. And of course we think of the male as hard and the female as gentle, you know, in terms of images and archetypes. But that's not how Buddhism thinks at all. For Buddhism, compassion and wisdom are exactly the same thing. They're just experienced and expressed in different ways. And that thing is the realization of non-dual wisdom. The realization that all things are impermanent, that reality doesn't consist of concrete fixed things, and that there is no real permanent self that can own things or control things. This wisdom represents a very big shift in perspective when it comes, and whether it comes quickly or whether it comes slowly over a long time. And it's a realization that affects everything, that affects how you behave, how you think of yourself, how you think of others, and it affects your whole outlook. You can call it wisdom, prajna, because you are starting to see the real truth of things. But you can also call it compassion, because when for you reality doesn't consist of concrete things, and people, including yourself, are not concrete in the same way, you behave very differently, and you see that everyone has essentially got the same problem. That is, they don't see things as they are, how they really are, and you see how you can help them to see things more as they are. And that, in Buddhism, is compassion. Compassion is when you actively help others to see things as you see they really are. And that help can take many forms. For Sangharakshita, the founder of this movement, one of its manifestations was setting up the early stages of the Triratna Buddhist community. For the Buddha, compassion was his continual teaching and communication and his brilliant organisation of his teaching material. However, it shows itself, you know, however that compassion shows itself, this is wisdom in action. Wisdom in action is compassion. So compassion, karuna is the word, is not the same as pity. It's not the same even as empathy. It's not the same as being as simply being helpful, though it probably includes all of that. Anyway, Tara is compassionate, for sure. You know, compassion, her compassion is wisdom expressed. As I said, she's all about relating to others. And Tara says that if you call on her, she will always respond. And this is shown by her, just the entirely by the way she is in her form. Her form shows complete receptivity and complete giving. If you just put yourself in her position, if you put yourself in the way that she sits and imagine being Tara, you'll feel what that's like. That's one of the reasons why we meditate on the forms of the Bodhisattvas, but in particular in the Tara practice. If you imagine that you are the Bodhisattva Tara, green, female, with one leg up in meditation, has one leg out up in meditation like this, she has one leg out like this. So she's kind of half in meditation, but she's half ready to come out to meet people. With her right hand, she shows the gesture of giving, which is like that. It's the Vara Mudra. It's a gesture that just means, here you are, it's giving. But she's also holding a lotus, so I think it's her thumb and her forefinger are together like that. So that's the mudra, that's the gesture. And with that, the thumb and forefinger of that right hand, she's holding a lotus, and the stem of the lotus comes up her arm somehow. And there's a lotus blooms above her shoulder. It's a little bit different in that picture. The lotus is blooming kind of over here somewhere. Her left hand shows the gesture of fearlessness. You know, which is related to the Buddha Amoghasiddhi, who's all about the quality of fearlessness, and so is she. She's almost like a daughter of Amoghasiddhi in that way. And she shows this gesture of fearlessness, but she's also holding a lotus, so she has to have two fingers together at the same time. And in most of the images that I've seen, she uses her ring finger to hold the lotus, so it's like the gesture is like this. At least that's what some people say. There's a bit of difference of opinion about this particular mudra. Some say that it's the mudra of vitarka, or discourse, or teaching. And still others say that it's the mudra of giving the three jewels. And those people say that the thumb and the ring finger being together, they symbolise the oneness of her wisdom and her practice, because they sort of flow together, these fingers, and that the other three fingers are all about the three jewels, Buddha, Dharma and Sangha. So make of that what you will. And she's, as I said, she sits at ease. So she's in meditation, but she's also ready to come out to meet people. So you could do that. You could feel the quality that comes out of that physical gesture, that physical state of being. Tara's qualities, they give, in particular, freedom from fear, liberation from fear. And in other words, if you can feel the qualities of Tara, you won't be afraid of anything. So think about that. Think about how the quality of great receptivity and great connectedness, along with the quality of great giving and great responsiveness, brings freedom from fear. If you think about that, you've kind of got what Tara is all about. I think I want to stress this thing of being like the Bodhisattva, because the Bodhisattvas really are a way for us to imagine what enlightenment is like, what the state of enlightenment is like. So that's the Bodhisattva Tara. Does that make any sense to anybody?